Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. A new $5 million drainage water management research project is exploring the economic and environmental benefits as well as costs of on-farm water storage. The project is investigating practices that can reduce crop losses from increasing drought and can improve water quality from drained farmland. SDSU Extension Water Management Engineer Chris Hay is among researchers from seven other land-grant universities participating in the project. It's funded by the USDA's National Institute of Food and Agriculture. Chris Hay joins us on the line. And Professor Hay, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Well, there are several colleges I see that are involved in this research project. Are you all looking at the same thing, or are there different aspects to this?
There's a few different aspects, three main practices that we're looking at. And so what's happened in the past is there's been kind of individual research on some of these practices, but this is now a coordinated effort across a lot of the Corn Belt then to look at these practices in coordination and actually try and put these together as kind of a package of practices.
So this is taking a new approach in that these different practices, you're all looking them together as sort of a unified whole?
That's correct, yep.
And what is the focus in particular of your research, Professor Hay?
I'll be focusing in on drainage water management, which is one of those practices that we'll be looking at. And that's really kind of a change to how we've operated subsurface drainage systems in the past. That in the past, any time we had some excess water that would result in a water table, or a shallow water table, we'd let that drain out. But I think we've started to realize that there's times when we don't need that drainage. And so that's a cost of losing some water and also losing potentially some nutrients, particularly nitrogen, that can go with that water. And so if we can actually manage when and how much water we're letting leave the field, then hopefully that offers both some production benefits but also some water quality benefits.
Now, when we're talking about subsurface drainage, the most common practice these days, is that tile drainage?
That's right. Yep, we're putting perforated plastic pipe, typically 3 to 4 feet below the soil surface, just kind of below the root zone. And again, as excess water builds up and results in a water table that comes up in the root zone, well, that depletes oxygen out of that root zone, and those crops need oxygen as well as water. So we drain off some of the excess water so that we get oxygen back in and let those roots grow.
Now, tilling is something that we hear quite a bit in the news. I know a lot of us aren't farmers, don't really probably understand a lot about that. But I'm curious as to the reasons for tiling, particularly in this region. If there's something about the soils that makes it necessary.
Sure. A lot of it is in this upper Midwest region is heavy glacial influence, and so we've got very productive topsoils that sit on top of this glacial till layer, which is fine clays that were deposited by the glaciers that just doesn't want to move water. And so water gets into that topsoil and starts moving down, and it hits that glacial till layer and doesn't have anywhere to go, so it results in those shallow water tables.
Are there other options as far as managing the subsurface water?
You know, we can look at ways of changing in cropping systems or adding cover crops or other crops to the system that can help us out. But in some cases, it's just a matter of too much water at the wrong time. And so, again, one of those ways to deal with that is through subsurface drainage.
And how long has tiling been used in South Dakota?
Almost since the Dakotas were settled. As soon as people started farming in the Dakotas, there were areas that needed drainage and that were put into production through subsurface drainage. So, there was kind of a little boom there when the Dakotas were first settled, and then another little boom after World War I and a little more after World War II. And then it kind of settled down as things got drier here. But with the recent wet cycle, we've seen another resurgence of interest in the practice.
Is this something that's done throughout the farm fields across South Dakota, or maybe more up in the northeastern part of the state where they've had a lot of the flooding and a lot of the lakes that have gotten rather large?
Sure. It really started in the southeast corner of South Dakota, and it's kind of expanded into a good part of the eastern third of South Dakota. And some of that has to deal with the changes in cropping practices, too, that we've shifted from primarily small grains in the northeast and northern parts of the state to now more corn and soybeans moving into those areas. And so part of that adaptation has also been additional drainage to go with that.
Now, how does this fit in with the research that you're doing in this project? Is it looking at other ways to deal with water management, or is it looking at ways to make this more efficient and perhaps more environmentally friendly?
It's a way to try and manage that drainage system to make it both more productive but also more environmentally friendly. So, again, kind of conventional drainage. Anytime there's excess water, we let that drain out. With the managed drainage, then, we open up the drains in the spring when we need to get in and do field operations, and potentially again in the fall if we need some drainage for harvest. But then the rest of the year, we really don't need that level of drainage, and so we can raise that outlet and let water build up, and hopefully we get some timely rain that helps save some water and then makes that available for that crop in the summer when we're typically water short.
Are you looking at new practices in this research study?
It's an existing practice, again, one that's kind of been looked at in isolated spots, but now applying it into areas where it hasn't been before and then trying to really expand the practice and look at it across a broader region.
And how would this help then when we're talking about sort of the intense rains in the spring and maybe prolonged summer drought?
The idea then is by managing the drainage, you've got the drainage there when you need it. So when you've got intense rains or, very wet springs or very wet falls, then you have the ability to drain excess water when you need that drainage. But then at the times when you don't need the drainage, you can save some water by raising that outlet. So that holds water in the soil and then makes it available, hopefully, for that crop during the summer then when drought becomes a potential issue.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. I'm talking with SDSU Extension Water Management Engineer Chris Hay about a new $5 million water research project. There are other institutions involved with this. SDSU is one of them. What about the other aspects of this research that you're not doing that some of the other institutions are doing?
Sure, yeah. A couple other practices that we're looking at. One is saturated buffers, and that in essence is where we've got a riparian buffer, grass or other vegetation on the edge of the field, between the field and a stream or other water body. Those have been great historically for dealing with surface runoff, so water running off the surface and carrying potentially soil and phosphorus and other nutrients with it. We can slow that water down, let the sediment settle out, let some of those nutrients settle out and get taken up by that vegetation, and results in cleaner surface water. But where we've got subsurface drains, then we've got that pipe that's running under the ground, and that really then just ends up short-circuiting that buffer, and so there's no interaction between that tile water and the buffer. So the idea with that is to actually reconnect that water to the buffer, and so we use a control structure to intercept that water before it gets to the outlet and distribute it laterally into the buffer and let it seep back through the soil and give it a chance to interact with the vegetation there in the buffer.
Now, there's also the use of some reservoirs, a capture and use system that's being researched?
Yep, that's another practice we're looking at. There's been a lot of interest now in what we call sub-irrigation, where you actually put water back through the tile in the summer to irrigate through that same drainage system that you use to drain water in the spring. And so we can do that with any water source, but what we're looking at here is if we can actually capture some of that water that we drain in the spring and save that in a storage reservoir and then actually use that same water to put back in the field. And so that water then helps us out then instead of treating it like a waste product, and then we can also recycle any nutrients that went with that could be a water quality concern.
Do you have any idea of what the costs would be of these practices?
Well, drainage water management's one that's relatively inexpensive, that as long as we design a system with that in mind, we've got some control structures that, maybe $1,000 a piece, but relative to the cost of the overall drainage system are pretty cheap. And so that one's pretty easy. There's a little bit of management involved, but not too much. Saturated buffers, another pretty inexpensive practice. It's just a little more pipe that we put in the ground to distribute that water, and again, a control structure. It's when we get into that reservoir storage and pumping it back into the system. That one does get a little more pricey, and so there's a cost to both for some land for that reservoir, the cost of constructing the reservoir, and then pumping costs to pump that water back.
The other universities in the research project, Purdue, Iowa State, North Dakota State, Ohio State, the University of Missouri, North Carolina, the University of Minnesota, are these areas, these in Ohio and in Iowa and elsewhere, are they dealing with different drainage problems and soil moisture management, different problems, different challenges than South Dakota? Are they unified to a certain extent?
They're unified to a certain extent, but certainly there's some regional differences. Most of our drainage in the western part of the Corn Belt, so the Dakotas and Minnesota and northwest Iowa, tends to happen in the spring and winter, spring and fall. When you get further east down into Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, a lot of their drainage occurs over the winter. And so there's a lot of benefit then from limiting some of that drainage over the winter, again, when we don't need that drainage. The other differences were drier as we get further west, and so the ability to have some of that water to put back for irrigation becomes even more important as we get further west.
Has this research under this project already started?
We're actually building on some existing research, and so the research being specifically funded by the SNFA grant has not yet started, but it's building off of existing research, and so most of these are sites that are already in place. There'll be a few new sites, but it's really taking some of the work that's already been done and really trying to expand it and make it into a larger package.
As this research goes on, I'm assuming that you're comparing notes and collaborating with the other researchers from the other institutions?
Absolutely, yep. And so part of the results of this will then be trying to put together among the group then packages that can be used for both teaching these practices to college students and future drainage engineers and water quality experts, and then also taking that out and making those research results available to producers and drainage contractors, agency personnel, and other stakeholders that have an interest in drainage and water quality.
And when do you expect you'll have that research completed?
It's a 5-year project, and so most of the field research will be happening in those first 2 to 3 years, and then a lot of the follow-up will happen in those last 2 years. And so part of that will be developing some tools to help with the design of this practice and where these practices best fit in the landscape, and then also developing some of that education package and taking those results out to producers and other interested parties.
Okay. Well, Professor Hay, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you for having me on.